Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Beautiful.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Keeps getting better
Perfect.
In my week off, I worked on my timing. It didn't work.
Evidently not. How are you guys doing after our little week's hiatus? What'd you guys do?
Oh, gosh. Rejuvenated, I suppose.
Ooh.
I had to reteach myself what Eurovision is, but other than that, I'm good.
I went up north to Hibbing. They're finally getting the 1956 broadcast.
No kidding.
Takes a while.
Yeah. Could you record that while you're up there? I mean, I think curious minds would want to know.
Oh, like do a play-by-play? Yeah, it'll take all of 9 minutes because there's 7 countries involved.
Yeah, but I mean, the historical knowledge that we could glean from the lost contest.
You're right. It's like introducing fire to primitive man. All right, be right back.
And welcome to another prehistoric episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America, one of the top 3 countries in North America. I'm Eric.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Danny.
And I'm Derek.
Nice.
We all said things at different times that time.
I actually am not sure as to the geography of America. I think it might be the top country in North America.
Tell that to the Canadians.
Well, I don't know where Alaska begins and ends.
I suppose so.
This is something that Europe should know. America is too big. We got too many states. I can't keep track of where they start. Someone told me the other day that we have a South Dakota.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I
lived there for 4 years. I'm still not sure. I'm just saying, between the Caribbean, obviously, is like S tier. Like, they're not even ranked with the rest of us.
No,
in a good way. In a good way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. They're Premier League.
Yes.
Okay. Oh,
yes.
I wasn't saying that. Jesus.
Jamaican food alone puts that in top tier.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that I wasn't the one to piss off all of the foreign countries out there first this week. I'm glad that we got it out of the way right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give it time.
What I mean is, between us and Mexico and Canada, we are easily top 3. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
All right, Sam.
And you can direct all of your hatred to our social media accounts.
Tell where the Canadians and Mexicans can direct there. Yeah.
Oh, geez. Well, you could hit us up on either Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA. You could email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com, our similarly named website, 12pointsfromamerica.com. If you're listening to us through one of your favorite podcasting providing services, whatever that may be, feel free to leave us a review. Ideally, as many stars as you can muster. We'd really appreciate it. Yeah, let us know what you think.
Imagine the user who's like moving their mouse and they're like, I can't move it to the 5th star.
Oh, click.
Yeah.
We'll take the 4. Mm-hmm. We prefer the 5, but we'll take the 4.
We're just glad you're listening.
Yeah.
Also, if you're out there and you're from Canada and you want to voice your hatred, Eric and I have only taken the Duolingo for like metropolitan France. So if you're going to write in French Canadian to us, I'm not going to know what you're saying.
No.
And I stopped doing French Duolingo altogether. I moved on. So
you moved on to Dothraki.
Yep.
How do you say my hovercraft is full of eels in Dothraki?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to go to Westeros when the pandemic's over. Seems nice.
Sweet.
Who's Westeros' representative to the Eurovision?
Ooh,
Destiny.
It's old Nan. It's Daddy Freyr.
No, you actually hit it on the head, Danny, 2 weeks ago when you said Daddy Freyr is a wildling from north of the wall.
That's right. He's a wildling from north of the wall. He's too tall.
Yeah. So let's see. Westeros. Who would that... Let's see. That would probably be...
Is it Croatia?
That means certainly King's Landing would be.
Josh Hudak.
That's it. Yeah, Hudak.
Northern Ireland was in a lot of, was like the north. Malta was used as a lot of Dothraki territory.
Yeah, at least the beginning. Sure. Yeah, the wedding. So you're saying that Destiny's Dothraki?
Technically, yes.
I take it.
All right. Note to self, don't piss Destiny off. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Don't mess with Destiny.
Nice. All right.
Wow.
Well, we have a bunch of stuff to cover this week since we're going to be doing basically a summary of what we can be expecting from next year in terms of competitors, talking about all the returning artists. How many do we have so far?
Got 18 of them so far. They just keep on coming in. We had luckily we had a couple of confirmations come through actually just last week during the actual show that was meant to be Eurovision.
We kind of got it from Sunit
during the show itself. Yeah, that was great.
That was great.
Mm-hmm. 12 points from America. America, we got the scoops.
Oh, we don't. We're a week late. What are we saying?
Yeah, that's right.
We should have taken that damn hiatus. No, I mean, that was actually really a cute moment from Sinead. He's like, and See you next year. And all of Twitter was just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, is she back? Myself included.
I was madly confused because I wasn't sure if that was news or not. I was pretty sure it was, that was an announcement. But like when there's a big announcement and you don't know that there's going to be a big announcement, there's always that moment of just sort of like, oh.
Right.
Oh.
Oh. I mean, it could have been like, oh, I'll be back as like a commentator, or I'll be reading the votes next year, or I'll help select the song. But it's San Marino.
Like, it was phrased like, see you next year, as in like, I don't know, anyone, you could see anyone next year. I mean, why wouldn't she go to Eurovision again? You know, what's she doing? You know, it's not like she's got to call off at work, you know.
I don't know what Sinead does in her spare time.
No, she manages a Tesco. I don't know.
She breaks all the rules.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she dances on roofs, kisses in the dark, wears lots of colors.
All that freaky stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All that freaky San Marino stuff.
You know what that means, too, is that we're going to have, I assume, Neo Disco from San Marino again. I hope.
I hope so. Like, I hope she doesn't, like, do the thing where it's just like, and I'll give them something very different to show my range. And like she comes at us with like another I did know, like, and I don't want that to happen. I want her to be just as weird as possible. For most of the returning artists, I will have to say, going down the list, I hope they bring us something that is very much like what they brought to the potential contest this year.
All right, so why don't we go down the list, and as of the day that we're recording this, which is, let's see, May 26th, as of right now, and anything could happen between now and, you know, 5 minutes from now, but who the hell knows. Why don't we just go down the list, see who has confirmed so far.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we've got Australia, so Montaigne, Vincent Bueno from Austria, Effendi from Azerbaijan, Hoover Phonic from Belgium, Victoria from Bulgaria, Benny Cristo from Czech Republic, Tornike Kipiani from Georgia.
Oh, for real?
He was one of the first to confirm, actually. Yeah.
Nice.
Stefania from Greece, Irina Lene from Israel, Samantha Tina from Latvia. They announced that to her in an interview on Latvian television and surprised her with the good news. And it was it was a very sweet moment. Destiny from Malta, Jangu from the Netherlands, Roxen from Romania, aforementioned Sinit from San Marino, Anna Soklic from Slovenia, Blas Canto from Spain, John's Tears from Switzerland, and Go A. Do we ever figure out if it's Go A or Go A?
Go A, because it's supposed to be, it's just like a reference to Alpha. So I don't know.
So Go Alpha.
You can pronounce it Go A or like Goa.
I'm gonna call him Galfa just to be
Galfa. Goalfa.
Goalfa.
That's right, the Gwibblings and the Goalfas. That's right, that is an obscure 13th century joke for all of you out there.
Of all of those artists, I feel like the one that's maybe most likely to switch things up a lot is probably Hoover Phonic.
Yeah, and I think they've said as much.
I was going to say Australia, actually. She might give us something that's a different vibe.
I could see that one, too.
Yeah. Now, Hoover Phonic, I think, have said that they are going to do something a little bit more up-tempo than what they were going to do in 2020, which I think is great.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever they serve up is whatever they serve up. I don't know if they're doing like, hey, we'll select three songs from our new album. I don't know if it's going to be completely internal or if they're going to do a mini selection for anything.
That's quite refreshing that our big five are right. There's only one who's confirmed returning
for now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think UK, there's a pretty good chance they'll send James Newman again. I would not be shocked at all if Tom Lieb or Ben Dolich were brought back.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if they bring Tom Lieb back, there's only one way to go, and that's up the Eiffel Tower.
And that's, I was going to say, they're going to do another remix, but it's going to be on top of the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. Rent it out again. It can't possibly fail twice.
Tell that to Benny Cristo. Like,
Oh,
the shade of it all.
Wow.
The nice thing is he'll be coming back next year. Mm-hmm. And so maybe he will have learned his lesson and not give us a bunch of microwaved versions of a song that was good enough to begin with.
We shall see.
Anyway, tell me about Italy, the song that got my 12 points. Is Diodato going to be coming back, and what is the deal with San Remo?
I mean, there are rumors going around that with Italy kind of coming back into its own from really getting hit very hard with Corona, they might consider pushing the San Remo Festival back in time. Oh, I mean, that comes out a little weird.
Back in time, my God, to 1955 to set his parents back up again. Okay.
Just like the video for Tactical Nuclear Penguins.
For Ringo Starr.
I love it.
yeah.
Oh, everything old. Circle. New again.
Also, you know, Le Grand Amore was a reference to Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah. Note to self, if you really want to impress people in Italy, somehow reference Back to the Future.
Somehow reference, yeah, Michael J. Fox. So how is their schedule going to look?
I mean, again, this is all rumor. I don't have any confirmation on this. This is all kind of speculation.
That means it's another scoop from 12 Points from America. Come to us. We're the source of all your scoops. We're like a Baskin Robbins for Eurovision over here.
Ooh. This is our second scoop. We're like Raisin Bran. Go ahead, Sam.
Two scoops. There we go.
I love you guys.
All right, tell us about Italy. Tell us about Sanremo.
So normally Sanremo is held in February. So plenty of time for a song and singer to be selected, for things to be cut down to appropriate 3-minute length, mm-hmm. because generally speaking, you don't need to select or officially have your song in the tin into the EBU until the beginning of March for the head of delegations meeting. Mm-hmm. However, if Sanremo is pushed into, say, March or April, obviously that's not going to work with the EBU's regulations. And Sanremo is not necessarily a Eurovision selection show. It is Sanremo.
That's true. That's sort of just like a bonus prize at this point.
So my thought and, you know, my theory, again, just guessings, conjecture, throwing spaghetti at the wall, seeing what sticks, is if they push Sanremo back, that maybe they would offer Diodato an internal selection spot.
Okay.
Which I think would be a good idea because, mm-hmm. yeah, I think he's gotten a lot of goodwill. I think people, once they saw his performance performing alone in an empty arena in Verona.
Oh, yeah. The Veronese amphitheater. That was great.
That was stunning.
It was incredible.
There were people saying after watching that performance, holy crap, he could have taken the whole damn thing. So, I mean, we'll never know, but I would love to see him get another shot at it. And if Sanremo is pushed, this is a great opportunity for that.
Yeah. I know that the winner of Sanremo hasn't always gone, but have they ever sidestepped Sanremo completely to pick the Eurovision artist?
Yeah, before? 2014, actually. Emma Maroni, La Mia Città was completely internal. That was not through Sanremo at all, okay, which so really kind of ticked off the winner of Sanremo that year because she really, really wanted to go.
When did it get?
Was it Samantha Tina?
No, it was Arisa, who I've been a fan of for years, and hopefully she will get her turn someday. But
okay,
yeah.
Speaking of Samantha Tina,
oh yes, yeah, she's
I am so relieved for her because. We talked about, you know, people who we feel worst for with Eurovision being canceled, and she was always up there because of the number of times she tried to get in. And
it was a running gag on this show whether or not she would be able to get into, like, for a country to represent. My thing is, I appreciate, you know, her, but I hated that song so much.
I know.
That for some of these artists, I feel great that they're coming back just because they get to go do a redo.
They get a mulligan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's some artists that I really love and wish that they could bring back the same song. And then there's some artists where I'm just like, you're good, but unfortunately, Blas Canto. Like I'm looking forward to see what Blas Canto is going to bring from Spain next year.
Agreed.
I feel kind of similarly about, and I know a lot of people really, really like this song, and it probably would have done really well, but I'm excited that Victoria from Bulgaria gets a mulligan of sorts, because I don't know, at least for me, Tears Getting Sober just didn't do a whole lot for me. So
same.
I'd be curious to see if she goes with a something more upbeat or something like that. I wonder if do you think Samantha Tina is going to do something crazy again?
Who knows? Who knows?
The temptation is irresistible.
In the past, she sent ballads. She sent things like this to national finals. She could really run the gamut. And I think it might just depend on the mood that strikes her as she's writing a song or working with a songwriter and what
or a composer.
Sorry.
Little Big is gonna ghostwrite her song for next year just to delight me.
A Little Big, we
you'll
don't
need to repeat a few phrases and the whole thing.
Little Big to me kind of seems like a get that Russia kind of got, just sort of had, like, they were free, they weren't touring, they weren't doing anything, so they were like, we finally have the room to do Eurovision this year. I don't know if Little Big is the kind of act that would be able to sign on for another year commitment.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I think in their interview with Nikki Tutorials, they said
the great Nikki Tutorials. Can we for just a second talk about Nikki Tutorials?
Yes. Yeah.
Nick Toots as a Disney Mario.
Great.
Friends.
Just beautiful. And what a terrible childhood she must have had growing up with the last name Tutorials. You know, the playground taunting must have been incessant. But in all seriousness, she was a fantastic host for a very strange format.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Major kudos to her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Every single segment that Nikki Tutorials did, the world came alive through my computer screen. It was fantastic.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, she, as a YouTube focused celebrity, celebrity. She's great at coming across on camera and connecting with people through a lens. And I mean, she's warm, she's personable, she makes you feel very at ease. I think, like, obviously next year, I mean, not obviously per se, but next year I would assume that they would bring back the three, the main hosts that they were talking about, Chantal, Jan, and Itzilia. But I think that Avratros would be at a loss if they didn't have Nikki Tutorials as a green room host.
Oh, yeah.
Or somehow involved. I mean, keep her in the mix because she was an absolute ray of light with all
this. It would only be the right choice for them to do her for the green room host segments, because the green room host segments are always like playing Russian roulette. I don't know if they're going to be like, if I have to be just chewing the inside of my cheek the whole time to just get through it, or if it's actually going to be like nice and like normal people talking to other humans. I have no idea how it seems to be the hardest task in any Eurovision show. When half the time it's a coin flip. If they're going to walk up to these people and like talk to them like they're kindergartners or something, it's really, nothing's going to be weirder than in Austria when they gave that one woman like the stuff from the bakery she apparently
bought. That was in Denmark. Yeah, when they gave Molly the curly whirly cake.
That's right. And she's like, how do you know about my life? The look on her face was just like the look that you would give like a weird creeper in like your like general science lecture your first year in college. Just like, I need someone to come help me.
But at the same time, also bring me a fork, because it's a goddamn
also,
curly
yes, I mean,
cake.
It's a curly whirly, yeah, of course.
Yes, you've brought this from the UK, and I'm assuming it's not poisoned.
I feel like they did that some other year, and it seemed like they really kind of had to stretch to find something for someone, and they were like, you know that restaurant you really like? And they were like, no. And then they're like, yo, you know this one like place in Paris? They're like, oh yeah, we went there like once or something. And they're like, well, anyway, here's all of their food. Do you not remember this? This was
I think it may have been like a semifinal from 2014 or something like that. I know that they gave Richard from Malta, Leasinger Firelight, they like served him up a giant English breakfast just because somebody thought that he liked English breakfast. I mean, he was happy. I mean, he was, you know, it's been a long day. By the time that you get to, you know, your interval in your semifinal, it's like 10 o'clock at night and you're really, really famished. So
I know, yeah.
Sure. The beans on toast. Why the hell not?
Breakfast literally anytime. I absolutely.
But anyway, but yeah, Nikki Tutorials, put her in the green room. She'll be brilliant. She was brilliant with this. Yeah. I understand, like when she was announced as being involved at Eurovision, I was like, I don't know anything about her. It's just not, I don't follow that many YouTubers.
I didn't know anything about her until the contest itself.
Yeah, but like now I get it. I absolutely get it. And like, seriously, more power to her. Give her all the things.
Eric, what were you talking about before I completely derailed you?
Well, that's,
I think
you're
talking about Russia's conversation with Nikki Tutorials about them coming back.
She interviewed Little Big, and it was quite fun. They're awkward to interview, it seems like, because they're just so odd.
Yes.
But I believe they said...
How awkward on a scale of one to like Crispin Glover on Letterman.
Oh,
it's not that awkward. And honestly, okay. This is another testament to Nikki, honestly, that it seemed like so much more of a normal interview than I imagine most interviews with Little Big. that it didn't just get really, really bizarre partway through or anything like that. But anyway, what I was going to say was, I believe they said that if they were asked to do it again, they would do it again.
Hey,
but that they
I'm
had
impressed.
Not heard anything.
I'm very excited then, because Little Big has a brand that they stray not far from with each new song. So,
which they just released another one like last week or 2 weeks ago. I'm not sure if you guys saw the video for Hit No Dancer. Yeah.
Oh, that's that new? Okay. Yes, I have.
I think it's really freaking new. Yeah. Great video on that one.
There are a few other artists I feel like there's just no way their new song is going to be that different from what we've come to expect. I feel like John's Tears.
He's not
going to come back with a disco bop.
I know. But I feel bad for him because he came with a winner. Like, he came with a real big shot. And I don't know how hard it's going to be to duplicate something like that.
True.
You think Loreen could have come back, you know, in 2016 or 2017 and swept it as big as she did?
She tried.
She tried.
We'll get onto that later on in our show, I think.
God, that's right. Yeah.
But Go Alpha, as we discussed, as we're now pronouncing it, apparently.
Gwalpha.
Like, well, they have one sound.
Yeah, and I love it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it could be...
If they bring some more ethno trap, I'll love it.
Yeah, somewhere between the more straightforward ethnopop that Solovey was. And I'm glad to be talking about this because it means I get to talk about their appearance on Eurovision Home Concerts.
We haven't talked too much about the Eurovision Home Concerts, and they've been a blessing.
They were great.
Yes. And possibly my I highlight of the whole thing was Solovey doing Dancing Lasha Tumbai as like an industrial krautrock monstrosity. It was incredible.
It was an art installation. That's what that was. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic.
It was SNL's Sprocket.
Yes, that's what...
And that was in time on Eurovision Home Concerts, Ven Me Dance.
It was almost like a parody of what Americans think Eurodance music is. But really sorry to say, I love that stuff. So it was also refreshing because, you know, on all of these, it seemed like there was always at least one artist who had been assigned Euphoria by Loreen. And it was just like, oh, great, we get to do Euphoria again. So it's just, you know, Uku Suvisti having to do. To be fair, his Euphoria was great.
It was. His was quite good.
It seemed like every single one of those concerts, there was at least one person who got to do that.
Mm. Also, quick shout out to Leah Cirque from Slovenia for doing... Both of her performances were amazing. One was Hvala ne, but it was like a club remix of it. Just awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Seeing her bust out all of her DJ equipment was riveting. I loved watching that.
Yeah, and then she covered If Love Was a Crime. And did a great job of it.
Love me a bit of Ilwak, as opposed to Calm After the Storm, which is just Cats. Better than Rise Like a Phoenix, which is just Relap.
There's a
everybody
lot of
just Relap.
I appreciated whenever someone would do a non-prominent Eurovision song. A lot of the times it was like a deep dive into their own country's like proud moments. Mm-hmm. I really liked seeing those ones as opposed to, you know, like seeing a Fuego or seeing someone do Duncan again. Mm-hmm. They had a huge variety. That was a fantastic way of replacing a lot of the attention that we usually direct towards just the contest itself. It was a fantastic idea. I can easily see them doing this like next year.
I think it's a great idea.
It's just a great way to build up hype for the artists themselves. Mm-hmm. And of course, Daddy Freyr did like a whole like hour-long set of this sort of thing.
And for the home concerts, he covered Lipstick by Jedward.
Which was so good.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really good. Oh, what else do we have? We had Suri doing Hard Rock Hallelujah.
Oh, great.
Ari Lennara did an interesting cover of Satellite that I kind of enjoyed. Oh, and Lake Malawi doing Say Na Na Na.
Evergreen.
Just
turned it into a beautiful, ethereal, 1975 adjacent meditation on the fleetingness of life. It was great.
Love it. Yeah, that's definitely something I hope they carry forward to next year.
Yeah.
Or just do like a second season in the fall, just something.
Yeah, especially for artists that are maybe like a few years out from their Eurovision experience. Mm-hmm. You know, where are they now? What are they up to? I like seeing that, kind of catching up with some of our favorites from a couple of years ago, but then just showing them why we fell in love with them in the first place. Like what we saw with Suri, for example.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they're definitely a small handful of artists, Suri among them, and Uku Suviste, whose song I hated, but I really liked him when this was all over with. Just artists that I found had a newfound respect for after seeing them do something interesting in one of these. Imri from Israel, 2017, I think.
Yeah, and he was there in 15 and 16 too in the background, yeah.
Ah, that's right. He was supporting the Golden Boy.
Mm-hmm.
But he covered Grande Amore, I think, and like crushed it. Like he was really good. And his acoustic cover of I Feel Alive was amazing. Mm. His vocals were spot on. It's crazy. Yeah. That guy's great.
Good for Uku, because that's basically the vibe that I've gotten from people who have just sort of like been Eurovisioning around, who are not inducted, who are not confirmed into the Church of Eurovision, is that Uku has a great voice and he's clearly a great talent. But that song sounded like bad Christian rock, which I'm convinced is a genre that not even Christians like. So good on him for as much exposure and variety as he can expose us to, because the man is clearly not appreciated.
I mean, obviously they appreciated him enough to put him through in the national final this year.
Well, yeah.
And put him, what, second last year? I mean, it's not like he's going ignored in Estonia. Don't get me wrong. True.
Now, they have said he is not coming. Well, he can compete again, but he's not.
But he's a very unlike.
I mean, he's got to capture lightning in a bottle again, basically.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe he could. Like I said, he's very talented, and if he just comes with a different slash better song, it's still possible.
He's one of those that I wish could come back because I want to see something better from him.
Yeah.
Do you think in situations like that, like he would go into Estee Lal as a big favorite regardless of what the song was, just because people are going to be like, he deserves his shot still?
Probably. I think there's a lot of sympathy surrounding COVID. Like, it's just something that happened. I think a lot of countries should be in favor of resending their acts.
Yeah,
there's a lot of countries that just can't. Like, Sweden would never send the Mamas again just because of the way that Sweden's song contest works.
Exactly. It's such a huge television draw in a lot of these countries, especially in Scandinavia, especially in the Baltic states. It's massive television. And in the case of Sweden, it is six shows on a Saturday night television that everybody in the country watches. Like, viewing figures, like I've said before, viewing figures for Melody Festival exceed that of Eurovision oftentimes. And it's a big, big draw. So I would be very, very shocked to see an internal selection from a lot of countries that really put so much of a focus on a national final, which is a shame because I would kill to see Dani Freire just go right through.
Oh, I know, but is he going to come back? I don't know.
He said he would if they invited him.
If it's an internal selection, he would. Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I could see him maybe doing behind the scenes songwriting, producing for an act that he would hand pick. I could see that maybe. Possibly.
He's such a strange presence.
I know, and I love him.
He holds your gaze, but it's because you're fascinated by how strange he is. His vibe reminds me of the same, and yeah, this is going to be something for people out there in internet land, but it's the same appeal that like Seth Everman has. Anyone is familiar with him. Gaming personality from Sweden, but he's just really purposefully disarming and weird, but it's very charming and like fascinating. And that seems to be the exact vibe that Dani Freire has. I would love to see him come and just like, you know, take the piss out of people at the contest.
I feel like he will do Eurovision at some point. I don't think it'll be next year, but I think a few
How
years.
How old is he? He's like 22, you know? He's got 40 years.
I think he's a little bit older than that. Let me crack open the list here. One second here.
Sam's version of the Statmotron?
Wikipedia.
Just Wikipedia.
It's just Wikipedia. No, he's 27. He's 27.
I see. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
He was just entering his prime Michael Jordan years.
That's right.
Except he's taller.
A foot for every year he's been alive. That's right. Yes.
Yeah. The man is a string bean.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like in a few years from now, if Iceland just decides, hey, let's win Eurovision, they'll just send him.
Oh, Sam. Here's something that, of course, I think you would have your finger on the pulse of.
Oh, dear.
Was there not some murmuring from Turk this week about them possibly returning?
It's murmurings of whisperings of hopes and prayers and dreams.
Now,
I think partially a lot of conversation among the fandom was kind of spurred by the fact that we had another fantastic edition of Eurovision again, this time from 2003, which is, of course, the year that Turkey won with Every Way That I Can by Sertab Erener. Classic.
I feel like everyone's focus was there. And then, of course, there were a couple of tweets from Turkish celebrities.
Yeah,
like,
including Sertab.
Something happening.
Including Sertab herself, which is like, I would love to see them come back. It's a great opportunity for us. Shows off our culture. And then there was some minister of culture or something like that saying, yeah, I'd be all for it. Maybe. Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
I will believe it when I see it. I would love to see it. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I mean, I've said this before. It was a Turkish song that really turned me from Eurovision viewer to Eurovision fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a very, very special place in my heart for the Turkish songs. They're also the nation that when they left us in 2012, they left us with the image of the man boat. So you know they have it in them for some wild and wonderful stuff.
Turkey proved to us that they can send both some bona fide winning content and some absolute hot, beautiful, glamorous garbage. So
I mean, and now we have Serhat, right, which in. Is really we have Serhat for now.
That's how they should bring him back.
There have also been rumors, it should be said, when in doubt, always send Serhat. Should be the free agent of Rome. He's the Eurovision Ronin, which is actually my previous nickname for Derek, because you know
I get around.
He's masterless.
For your first five Eurovisions, Derek, you were accredited through five different organizations.
Yep.
Beloved by many.
And let's not confuse that with the 1997 host Eurovision Ronin, which was Ronan Keating.
Of course. yes.
Now, how likely do we have our two countries that couldn't join us this year? How likely are they to come back, Hungary and Montenegro.
Hungary, I think, would probably be unlikely.
No.
I don't think they even showed Europe Shine a Light on Duna TV or their local broadcaster. I don't think they showed it.
What was it? Did they have like a step dancing competition that was going to be, wow, just dragging all the countries this week?
You're in fighting form. Montenegro, I wouldn't be surprised. I think last year it was a budgetary concern / an organizational concern that caused them to step away for a year. But maybe after a year off, they're feeling refreshed. I wouldn't be shocked to see them back.
Mm-hmm. You know, I heard a rumor about another country, another possible return.
Mm-hmm.
That supposedly a former performer from a certain country claims to have raised on her own enough money to bring Andorra back.
Yes.
Who is it? Is it like, is this like Celine Dion? Like, who is it?
Oh God, if only. No, Suzanne Giorgi, who was actually their last Andorran representative, even though technically she's Danish, but that's neither here nor there.
The next Eurovision to be literally every sovereign state in Europe. I want to come to the contest. I want Andorra. I want Liechtenstein. I want Luxembourg. I want Vatican City. I want it all to come back. I want
Sealand.
I don't care. Yes, Sealand. I want Kosovo to come here. And I want South Ossetia to come back. That's right, Russia. We'll cut that last part.
Will we?
Anyway, maybe. Who knows? I think a lot of things are just going to have to depend on travel restrictions and budgets and this and that, but I would love to see Andorra back. Frankly, it breaks my heart that they are the single nation at Eurovision to never make it to a final.
I think that's just by virtue of them just not having gone a lot.
Well, they started attending in years where semifinals were the thing, and then they just never made it out of a semifinal, which is a shame because they sent some pretty decent stuff.
I mean, when was the last time that we saw Andorra?
2009, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Andorra won. They would just hold it in Paris or something, right? Like,
or Barcelona.
I wonder. Yeah, exactly. I wonder.
Probably
if they
Barcelona. Somewhere in Catalonia. Yeah.
Somewhere that's much closer anyway. Either that or, I don't know, somewhere close in France, a major city. Bordeaux. I mean, Bordeaux would have
the... I mean, Derek.
Toulouse is the closest big city.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you've been to Andorra.
I have.
What'd you think? Would we overrun? Would the Eurovision Circus just overrun Andorra La Vella completely? Like,
we'd all have to stay in ski lodges. We'd be 10,000 feet above sea level.
Oh, God, breathing for the artist would be so much tougher.
That's right. They all compete with oxygen masks on.
Your red blood cell count would be off the charts. You'd be like Lance Armstrong.
Okay.
In any case, I hope that most countries can come back and that we get a couple of the folks who couldn't come this year back again, because I have way more faith in Europe dealing with COVID than America, honestly. So I hope that they're able to get things straight by next year.
I am sure that they'll have some amount of contingent plans, things like that. Like, I'm sure there will be a Eurovision next year. It seems like the possibility is certainly there that it could still maybe not be quite what we're used to, but they will do something. They'll have a backup plan and we'll know what it is and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So we shall see.
On a related note, I want to take a quick poll, sort of a yes or no.
Yes.
Will the winner of Eurovision 2021 be a Eurovision 2020 artist? Yes or no?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say yes.
I am also going to say yes.
Do you have a favorite?
A favorite right now?
Well, like, just looking at the list of countries that are sending artists again, I would say most of them probably not winning potential, but there's a small handful. I would say they have a shot.
The one that stands out to me is Switzerland.
Yeah, Switzerland. And if Italy decides through some possible rescheduling of San Remo to send back Diodato, to send him back with another song.
I think
there's a lot of there's also a lot of, you know, I always talk about the story or like the behind the scenes aspects that make a song a winning song. I feel like there's a lot of sympathy for Italy that would, I'm not going to say unfairly advantage them for coming to the contest with the same artists next year, but I feel like there's a lot of positive sentiment that would help a very good song become the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Italy's come so close recently too.
Yeah.
I mean, a certain breath.
Italy is always the bridesmaid. They have had a string of absolute bangers, absolute winners that have just gotten edged out by a slightly better song.
Yeah. If they do announce we're sending Diodato again, he's got to shoot straight to the top.
Yep.
At least hypothetically, that he was already a fan darling and this and that and the other. But Derek, I think you're right that a lot of the artists that are coming back are, I mean, it's, I'm glad to see them back, but it, I don't know that they're
super a lot of them were average or average plus, I feel, when we finally sorted out the rank.
And I think a lot of the artists, I mean, like, too, some of them are still pretty young. I mean, you can look at a, compared to a band like Hooverphonic, who's been around for 25 years, they're going to, you could probably guess what kind of song they're going to send. I have no idea what John's Tears is going to do. Jungoo McCroy, I have no clue what
Destiny
his other stuff even
from
sounds like.
Malta,
Destiny's still, just getting their feet on the ground. So
Stefania, that's a bad example.
I'm really curious to see what she does, because I'm hoping she'll try a more mature sound.
Honestly, I was kind of joking, but that really could, I mean, I think it's going to be another, pretty likely to be another ethno pop song to some degree, but I don't know. It's hard to say. It's hard to say. She does, I don't know that she quite has the pipes for like a big ballad, you know what I mean? So
I don't know. I mean, a young artist like that can go through a lot of training and learn a lot of technique in the span of a year.
So being so young, her artistic sensibilities might develop in radically different directions, especially during an like a historical event like this where everyone's indoors and constantly consuming media.
Yeah, she may come out of this. She may come out of this as, you know,
gangster rapper.
Tina Turner. Wow.
She's not Norwegian.
That's right. She's trapped. That's it.
I mean,
she masters the violin and out fiddles noted deal with
Satan?
The devil avoider. No, Alexander Rybak. That's how Alexander Rybak got his, that's how he was able to actually go to Eurovision the second time, is because he defeated the devil when he went down to, I don't know, Bergen.
Devil went down to Bergen. He was looking for some lefse to heal.
Wow. Anyway.
So we've talked quite a bit about returning artists for next year, but we thought we would
Do a brief history of the proud history of the returning artist at Eurovision.
Yeah. So really, it's a pretty common phenomenon, really. I think 2021 is going to be kind of an outlier in just how many returning artists we're just going to get.
Of course, yeah.
But over the last couple of years, we've had so many familiar faces coming through, whether they are backing singers upgrading to the main spot,
like
or
the
vice
Mamas,
versa.
Yeah.
Or just people we've seen multiple times. I mean, everybody keeps joking about Valentina Minetta and for San Marino, but it's not just Val. It's so many artists. And really, the phenomenon is not a new thing.
Before this, however, have we ever had an artist or multiple artists come back in consecutives, though?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I mean, really, Lise Assia, who you can argue was the first returning artist because she sang twice in the same contest.
That's right. She returned after the commercial break.
Yeah, basically. So she actually returned in 1957 and came.
She sang three times in 2 years.
She came in eighth place in 57 and, like, double check here, I think she sang in 58 as well.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. She sang in, she came in second place in 1958. So that's four songs in 3 years. So Valentina, Eat Your Heart Out.
Where is Lise Assia from?
She's Swiss.
Okay.
She was
of course, that makes her, she can sing for anyone.
Yeah. So she was
neutral.
from Switzerland.
A truly neutral country, yes.
Yes. singing in German, Italian, French. Seriously, the woman could really do no wrong. She tried singing in English. She tried coming back and tried doing it again.
You know what else she did? She tried being a guest vocalist in a rap song.
Hello, how's the
flow? Oh, that's right. Oh,
exactly.
God, I love her. The Julie Andrews of Switzerland.
Love it.
Yeah, she's great.
So I mean, for Lise, it worked out pretty well, because I mean, her third song out of four only came in eighth place out of 10 songs, but her fourth song did come in second place. However, the following year, so 57 to 58, Corey Brocken did not have the best luck. She actually won in 57 and then came in last place in 58. So
you got greedy.
Many people can say that they've done both of those.
To be fair, in that year, how many competitors were there in 1958? Were there even 10 countries?
1958, let me double check that. There were 10. There were exactly 10.
Ah, perfect. So top 10.
Finish in the top 10. Yes.
There you go.
How many people can say that they finished twice in the top 10?
Has anyone else won and finished last?
Oh, goodness. Songwriters, certainly. But in terms of artists, not that I can think of. I can think of Don International, who we know one in 1998.
And then
with Diva, she did not qualify out of her semifinal in 2011 when she tried to return with the song Ding Dong. So that was probably one of the bigger spreads between appearances. Really, the only time it's truly worked 100% is for Johnny Logan, who won it twice. Yeah, for Ireland, who won it twice. And then came back
during the glory days of the English language rule, or the native language rule.
Exactly. So technically won it three times, twice as a singer, once as a songwriter. Other marginal successes, Jean-Claude Pascal, who was one of the early winners, came back in the early 80s and did pretty well. Isabelle Abrett came in first and third, and again, another early winner. Anne-Marie David, who won in 73, I want to say, for France. Sorry, Luxembourg, and then came back a couple years later for France and did very solidly. Giulia Cinquetti came in first and second. A whole bunch of artists have tried. I mean, you could even argue Alexander Rybak. He might not.
That's true.
Yeah, he didn't necessarily win his second time around, but he won a semifinal when he returned in 2018.
He top 10, didn't he?
I think so.
No, I don't.
It was borderline, I think.
It's a win-win situation for me. Great if he got top 10. He's a great artist. But if he got top 10 with that song, I'm going to go jump up.
Right. I remember when we had the Eurovision party and saw sort of the performance-ish, saw people's reaction to That's How You Write a Song for the first time. Mm-hmm. I remember just thinking to myself, God, I hate this, and God, I think it could win.
Yeah. What a terrible song that I hate, and it's great.
Like, I don't know. That guy just has it, you know? He could sing the phone book for 3 minutes and still easily qualify.
Sam, can that be said of most of the artists who wound up returning? Did they just have it? Or was it a situation where it was just like, unfortunately, and I don't mean this to be mean, but they were the ones available?
I mean, that really depends. I mean, what is it, really? I mean, that's a really hard thing to say, because there are plenty of artists that have had that X factor that don't necessarily get invited back.
Mm-hmm.
And is it just the aura of a winner that's a really tough question.
Is it? Let's view it through the lens of Loreen, okay?
Okay.
She was the clear winner, probably the winningest song in Eurovision, a song that will live on as almost like a, my God, it's going to be like Love Shine a Light. And then she came back again.
She attempted
to come back. How well did that pan out? Yeah.
So she competed in Melody Festival back in 2017 with a song called Statements, which was really dark and almost industrial. And I personally loved it. I absolutely loved it personally. Mm-hmm. And very artistic kind of staging, very not what you would expect from a normal pop song, very much had a statement to say. And it got knocked out in the second chance round. So, which was seen by some as a heartbreaking failure. But the song itself is kind of endured amongst a lot of the fans as saying, oh, the one of the ones that got away, because instead we got I Can't Go On.
That's what it lost to.
Well, it didn't go up against I Can't Go On.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, fair.
Yeah.
That whole year, I think I've said before, I feel like we could do a whole episode on Melfest 2017 because of how strong it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
And perhaps we should. We're in the off season now.
Yeah, we could talk about whatever the hell we want.
Yeah.
So people at home, what do you guys want us to talk about? Let us know on social media. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, email us directly. So Facebook and Twitter, 12pointsUSA, excuse me. Email 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Let us know what we should talk about. Let us be your puppets on screen, but not really, because that's a little creepy.
We could be your clown, your imaginary friend, and the rest of that song.
Well, until next week, I'm Danny.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Derek.
I'm Eric.
Damn it!
And America,
stop listening now.
That's great. That's a great way to end.
How much content? Wait, how much did we get?
Wow.